great to see everyone today. Thank you very much for coming out and being a part of the Azalea City Church and our worship this morning to our Heavenly Father. I want you to know that there's really no better introduction than for me to say, man, I'm already thankful we've been here. Joseph has got a gift, doesn't he? Joseph, I'm very proud of you. Just a great man. And he was in Sunday school this morning, and that's awesome. One of our one-to-one guys representing, and just got a talent. He's using it to God's glory. David, thank you for that wonderful prayer. Just beautiful prayer. Aaron, great job. Kent, thank you for your just deep and moving and well-thought-out thoughts as you directed our minds. I mean, I'm just ecstatic that we've been here. God is so good. This church is His design. And there are great people who have shepherd this flock now and have shepherded this flock in the past. And I'm so glad that we're a part. Today, we're going to continue our study in the seven churches of Asia in Revelation. And as I've mentioned the last couple times now, if you were to take and go in order, we would be talking about the Church of Philadelphia today. But we're not going to talk about that church today. We're going to talk about Philadelphia next week because we're going to get all the ones who struggled out of the way first, if you will. So I'm going to take some liberties in the order. And so today we're going to talk about one that's probably, I would guess, the most famous of all the churches in the seven churches of Asia. And when I say they're the most famous, they're more infamous than famous because we know what Jesus said about them. Again, Jesus Christ, the meekest man who's ever walked this earth, the most gentle man who's ever walked this earth, I mentioned some of the most hard language in just a moment about this church. And the church at Laodicea had a problem. They were not hot, they were not cold, they were lukewarm. And so as we go through the church at Laodicea, and we've gone through all these churches, may we not forget that this is not a letter to just beat them up. It's a letter to examine where we are, to examine where the church at Azalea City is. Our theme this year is more. And again, it's coming to a close. And so I want to ask you, as we go through the church at Laodicea, here in December the 16th, there's just a couple more Sundays left in this year, 2018, when we set that theme up and our elders presented what our theme was going to be the beginning of this year, just like they'll do in a couple weeks for next year. And they asked the question, are we going to do more? Are we going to challenge? God has done more for us. Remember, He's done exceedingly abundantly more for us. Have we done more this year for our Lord, for the church, for the kingdom? Have I been hot or cold, or am I just lukewarm? And I'm going to talk more about that in a moment. But I really want this lesson to be a lesson that leads to conviction if you need to be convicted. I'm not going to sugarcoat things. I would rather just teach sunshine and rainbows today, okay? Just feel-goodism. I'd rather teach it every Sunday. Today is I'm either going to step on toes or we're going to say, hey, I feel pretty good about where I am in my walk with the Lord. And the reason that is because we need everyone. We need everyone to step up and do their part. The Lord needs us. The church needs us. And if we're going to accomplish the mission, we need to be doing these things. So I want us to make this sermon personal. I want you to examine your life, just like we should always do, just like I've examined mine already, and I will continue to examine my life as we go through this lesson. So let's get to it. Revelation chapter 3, if you will, verses 14 through 22. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be jealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Again, Jesus Christ now, the picture of perfection. The one who loves us unconditionally. The one who, because of His blood, because of His sacrifice, because of His death, burial, and resurrection, we share the good news. It's the time of year that we talk about Jesus, and we talk about glad tidings and good news. He's the one who brought conviction. He's the one who sent a messenger to the church at Laodicea and said, "Wake up! You are not cold, you are not hot, you are lukewarm, and that makes me sick." And that's where we have to look at ourselves today. And we're going to break that down and, I believe, explain the meaning of what Jesus meant. As we look at this passage, just like I've done all the others, we need to note that we're talking about Jesus here. Okay, it's a letter from Jesus, not a letter from Terry. It's not a letter from the elders. It's a letter from Jesus Christ. And here's what he says about himself. He's kind of mentioned something different a little bit every time. And he calls himself the Amen, the faithful and true witness. And he calls himself the beginning of God's creation. Let me just break those last two down for you. God did not create Jesus. Jesus is part of God. He's always existed. But what he means is he was there in the beginning. Remember John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are the ones who said, "Let us make man in our image." They were there in the beginning when everything was created. The faithful and true witness, that means it doesn't get any more accurate than what he just said. He is faithful, he is true, he's witness to God, he's a witness to all of life, existence as we know it. And if he says it, you believe it. But I love the most of all that he calls himself here the Amen. He says, "I am the Amen." The word Amen literally means, "Let it be so." So when we hear someone say, "Amen," and I've said Amen, I said Amen this morning to what Kent said, and "let it be so." This is the exclamation point or the period to the end of the sentence. Okay, that's what it means. And so here the Amen denotes the one in whom reality is found. There is the sense of completeness and finality in the Word. Okay, this is the final Word. So before Christ, this is what Amen here he was referring to himself means. Before Christ, there was no other. The Christians in the Roman Empire had hundreds of false gods around them, right? Think about it. Hundreds of them in the Roman Empire all around that they could bow down and worship. But there was only one Amen. And that was Jesus Christ. And he's saying here, "I am the true living God. I am the Amen." And so I want you to listen to what I say. Again, this is not a message from Terry. This is not a message from the elders. This is a message from the Amen. And here's what he has to say about the church at Laodicea. He says, I know your works. He told all seven of the churches, I know your works. He knew what they were doing. He knew what they were not doing. I said this every Sunday that I've been here, and I will say it again next week, that either scares us to death or it encourages us wherever we are. Hot, cold, or lukewarm, it's going to scare us to death today or it's going to encourage us. He knows what you're doing. He knows what I'm doing, and He knows what we're doing as a church. Again, we are faced with the fact that it was the works of the churches that determined whether Jesus found them acceptable or not. What the church was doing or not doing meant Jesus either accepted what they were doing or He did not accept it. So the application for us today is this. Yes. Yes, we are saved by grace through faith. No one here is going to deny that. That is biblical. Paul taught it to the church at Ephesus. Everyone here today, we are not saved by our works. We are saved by grace through faith. However, it does not mean that we're saved without obedience to the will of God. Yes, we're saved by grace. We do not deserve it. But we've got to be doing something. We can't just be stale. We can't be stagnant. We can't be lukewarm. We've got to be doing something. And that's what Jesus is telling the church at Laodicea today. He goes on to say, you're not cold or hot. Now let me explain the background of, and I think this will help us in our understanding of what He means. Because some of you may be struggling, well, why would Jesus say it's better to be cold than hot? And I've heard lessons explaining that. Well, I'm going to explain to you what He means, what I believe He means. He's using the city of where they are. Laodicea was between two cities that were big players in the travel game. The one city that it's between is Hierapolis. That area was known for their springs. They had these great springs, these hot springs, if you will. It was only 6 miles from Laodicea, and these hot waters brought people from all over the regions to these hot springs. Why? Because they would soak in the warm baths, they would seek healing for arthritis, skin diseases, and even abdominal problems. Today, what do? We get the heating pad out. Okay, we put something warm on our stomach problems or on our back or whatever it may be. These hot springs were the same thing. So people from all around the region would come to the city of Hierapolis and they would bathe and soak in these hot springs. Well, guess what was on the other side of them? Colossae. We've heard of Colossae. Paul went to Colossae and he wrote to the church of Colossae in the book of Colossians. So, what was Colossae known for? You guessed it, it's ice-cold waters. Colossae was known for its ice-cold waters. People in the fertile Lycus River Valley commonly talked about this wonderful, invigorating water of Colossae. So I guess if you were feeling good enough, and you've seen it before, especially in Ukraine, they would have these. We would baptize people in the saunas. And the saunas would be hot, 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 hot. But the water would be ice cold. And so it was something about going to the hot springs, traveling across, and then going to Colossae to the cold waters. So you had hot on one side, you had cold on the other, and in between, guess what? Laodicea was just lukewarm water. They weren't known for their water. In fact, they became the laughingstock of the other cities surrounding them because the lukewarm water of the church at Laodicea, people would drink it, it would taste awful, it would be awful, and they would literally get sick. So you had the refreshing hot springs of Hierapolis. You had the ice-cold, refreshing spring water, river water, of Colossae, and then you had the miserable, miserable, lukewarm water of Laodicea. So perhaps Jesus is using this illustration, and it's carried over into their church, and they would understand it. So He may have been saying to the church at Laodicea, if you were hot like the springs of Hierapolis, you would bring spiritual healing, restoration, and comfort to the people who suffer. If you were cold like the water in Colossae, you would refresh and encourage people who are hurting. Instead, you as a church are lukewarm. You are lukewarm. You don't do any good. You make me sick. Just like your own water makes you sick. So today, when we hear hot, when we hear cold, we can remember that it is a good thing. But being lukewarm is really dangerous. It's really dangerous, a dangerous area for us to be in. So I want to break down what I believe Jesus is trying to illustrate to us, to the church at Laodicea and to us today. Number one, lukewarmness is a problem. It is a great problem. And most of the time, people will take this passage and they will say, it'd be better to be on fire or far away from God. But again, that still works. I get it. But I believe Jesus is trying to say here that, hey, lukewarmness doesn't produce anything. Lukewarmness is a synonym for being apathetic. And that's what you've become. You're an apathetic church. Well, what does that mean? It's an opportunity for us to examine where we are. When you're hot, that's not a problem, but when you're not hot, that's a problem. When you're not cold, that's a problem. Lukewarmness makes Jesus sick, and that is a problem. Are we a church that is ineffective? Are we a church that is doing nothing? Now, I'm going to sit here and say we're not, but I want us to not just, again, I said from the outset, I believe we need to look at this as individuals. And let me try to illustrate that. Now, it's December the 16th, and people are getting out of school and traveling, and there are other things going on, and there's people, you know, worshiping in other places, but if we've got a good crowd here today, but we do not have a capacity crowd, we could say that. Okay, I see empty spots here, 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 and up there. Okay, well, let me ask you this. Does that bother you? And now again, I can't answer for you. But if today there are empty spots around you and that does not bother you, then we need to examine, am I hot or cold or lukewarm? Oh, well, that's not my job. You know, that's Terry's job. We pay him. That's Justin's job. We pay him. That's Jason's job. We pay those guys. I mean, you know what? I'm coming. I'm stamping. I'm clocking in and clocking out. That's the elder's job. You know, we appointed those guys and they got to stand in judgment for it. By the way, all those things are true. I mean, because of it's not, though, I want you to know, it's not going to be because you pay me that I'm going to check on someone. The elders, yeah, they're the shepherds of the flock. But folks, Jesus didn't just single out individuals. He called the whole church. He didn't just say, hey, so-and-so on so-and-so pew and so-and-so day. He said, church at Laodicea. So if there are one of two of us that are apathetic in here, is that damaging the whole church? Sure it is. Does it bother us that there is a people around us that do not know the good news of Jesus Christ, or they've learned it in error? Do we love them enough to go to them and talk to them? You know, our elders decided a couple years ago now to, hey, we're all here, the majority's here on Sunday morning, we're going to have more emphasis on the Lord's Supper. We're going to bring more songs in. We're going to, you didn't say this, but Terry's going to double up his time and get two sermons in one, right? So we're going to extend our services on Sunday morning. We're all here. But you know what? That means we're also going to extend Bible class 1 hour so we have more time in the Word of God. And you know what? That means that some of us just decided, hey, that's, you know, more time I've got to sleep in. Again, I told you there's going to be conviction today. We were going to step on your toes. You're going to be like, I feel good about myself and I love you. Jesus Christ loves us. He loved the church at Laodicea. But lukewarmness is dangerous. It's dangerous. If Sunday school does not matter to you, if Wednesday night does not matter to you, if reading the Word of God doesn't matter to you, if people missing doesn't matter to you, then maybe I need to examine where I'm at. It's not about numbers. It's about heaven and hell. Those people showed up on Sundays. They were there. But they were lukewarm. They didn't provide refreshment. They didn't provide healing. They didn't provide anything except sickness. And we've got to guard against that, folks. What would he say about us today? Are you having an impact in the kingdom individually? Have I done more for the kingdom in December than I did in January? Are you making a difference that will last for eternity? Maybe I'm lukewarm. The designation of being a lukewarm Christian or a lukewarm church is not a compliment. It reveals uselessness for anything significant. The lukewarm church or the lukewarm Christian might be classified by apathy or a lack of care. You know, we sing the song sometimes, does Jesus care? Oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. But if Jesus turned that on you, and He said, does Terry care? And He knows my works. He knows my heart. Put your name there. Do you care? Now on the surface, we're all going to say, yes, I care. But we've got to look and examine ourselves. We get one shot at heaven. One shot. And if I miss heaven, I miss it all. Could I lose my soul and still come occasionally to church? Yes. Can I lose my soul and come every Sunday to church? Yes. And that's why we need to talk about conviction. And we need to examine where we are. These aren't easy sermons to preach. Imagine it wasn't an easy letter for Jesus to write. But it is a problem. Lukewarmness is a problem. But there is a prescription. I'm thankful that today if we get sick, a few weeks ago I had bronchitis, was able to go to the doctor and get medicine. Isn't that a blessing? That we live in a country that we can get that. We can get a shot, we can get medicine, we can get all these things, and He writes us a prescription, and we can get better. If we do as the doctor prescribed, guess what? Jesus wrote a prescription to the problem. And here's what He said. He said, you say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. You see, Laodicea, the country, the area of Laodicea, I should say the city, they prided themselves on the wealth that they were a wealthy country or a wealthy city. He says, you say you're rich and you've acquired this great wealth and you don't need anything. You see, the problem was that the letter sent to them was not the reality of what they believed. They believed they were okay. You know, we've got money, we've got it all. But the truth of the matter was that they were wretched. He said this. They were pitiful, they were poor, they were blind, they were naked. Now when they heard this, you could imagine, they're like, what is he talking about? But he wasn't talking about physical, was he? He was talking about spiritual. Today, if I've got money in the bank and I've got family and I've got a good job and I can put gas in my car and I can eat and I can do this and I can do that and I, man, I feel God's blessing me. I'm great. But I could still be miserable. wretched, poor, blind, naked. Maybe on the surface everything looks great, but it's that internal conflict, that internal war that makes me, because I'm lukewarm, most miserable. There are several problems at work here. The first was that the church apparently was not very distinct from the culture in which they lived. They allowed the world to creep in to the church, and that is also very, very dangerous. Right? When we allow the world to creep into the church, that is dangerous. Laodicea thought they were something great. They thought they had it all together. They thought they were special because they had more things. Again, perhaps they interpreted their great wealth as a blessing from God. But there was a problem. They were like the non-Christians surrounding them in the city. They took great pride in the physical. We can see throughout history that churches oftentimes took on the personality of their culture. You see what America is dealing with today, the church in America. We're dealing with some of the same problems that they were dealing with back then. The problem in American society is there's laziness, there's love of self, there's arrogance, which is so prominent in American society. Now listen, I'm like Kent. I tell my kids, I tell myself, I think about those things. Man, we could have woke up in a country today that only knows war, that only knows misery. I am thankful for the U.S. of A. But if we're honest with ourselves, we've allowed the blessings of this country, the hard-fought freedoms of our men and women who are fighting even today for us, we've allowed that to lead us maybe into a comfort level, an apathetic level. We beat millennials up all the time, don't we, for being apathetic. Ah, they're just going through life. They're just existing. They don't care. But folks, sometimes that's us as whatever age group we're in. And if we're not careful, that comes into the church and that gets dangerous. And that's what happened at the church at Laodicea. And again, we've talked about the problem. So what's the prescription? He tells them here about the clothes to wear. Now let me tell you, they were known for their black wool. Okay? That was something in Laodicea that they were known for, this black wool, and it brought great wealth because people wanted it so much. They would make it and everything would be great and people would come and they'd buy it and everything. But Jesus told them, don't wear the black, wear the white. He said, you want to be dressed in white. You want to be dressed in purity. Today, do not let the outside world rub off on us. Let's get rid of that. Nakedness is the badge of sin, right? Adam and Eve sinned. They realized they were naked. What did they do? They hid themselves. They clothed themselves. Jesus instructs them to find white clothes. Again, that stands to this day as a symbol of purity. Laodicea was the location of a major medical school. And this major medical school was known worldwide for making eye salve. It would help people with their struggles in seeing, their pain in their eyes. This Persian powder was made from a local stone that was found there in Laodicea. So the problem in Laodicea was not physical blindness, was it? Okay, he told them, you're not wealthy, you're not dressing yourselves in black. Again, spiritually, you shouldn't be doing this. And he said, you need some eye salve. But they really didn't physically because they made it. They had it. But he's talking about spiritually. They had blinded themselves. What would the devil like nothing more today? He would like nothing more than to make us all believe we're doing just fine. And you may be. I don't know. But chances are there's some here that think, hey, I'm doing just fine spiritually, but you're blinded by the world. You're blinded by busyness. You're blinded by apathy. You're blinded by lukewarmness. You're blinded by contentment spiritually. They had a focus problem. They had a vision problem. They had a spiritual blindness problem. Finally, he says, to those he loves, whom he reproves and disciplines, he told them, you need to repent and be zealous. It's the charge that would be given to any lukewarm Christian today. How do we get rid of it? What's the prescription? It's simple. Get rid of the spiritual blindness. Get rid of the spiritual darkness. Get rid of the spiritual false sense of wealth. And he said, you repent. Get right, church, and let's go home. He said, you need to repent. You need to turn. You need to make a decision. A lukewarm Christian has lost their zeal. Think about that. Those of you who may be visiting today, our baptistry is behind this wall. There's water right here, okay? But think about wherever you were. A lot have been baptized in this water that are here today, but maybe it was somewhere else. But when you came up out of that water, there was nothing that could penetrate your soul. It was the greatest day of your life. You were shouting hallelujah. You were shouting amen. You felt great. Come on, devil. You can't beat me today, but some time has gone by, and maybe we've lost that zeal. Maybe we need to be renewed. Maybe we need to repent. Maybe we need to wake up. We need to get hot or cold and not be lukewarm. The core problem, I like this quote, it's not me, but listen to this. The core problem is not that we are too passionate about bad things, but that we are not passionate enough about good things. We got to get some good in our lives. So the problem, lukewarmness. The prescription, get right. Repent, renew, rebuild. And then there's the promise. The picture painted here we see at the end of this is Jesus standing at the door knocking, right? That's what he said. He said, you repent, you become zealous again, you get hot, you get cold, you be either Hierapolis, or you be Colossae, don't be the middle ground. He said, you do something productive for the Lord, and guess what I'm going to do? I'm standing at the door knocking. Now, I have used this, I don't know, a lot of times in my life to talk about Jesus wanting to come into your lives, and I believe that's accurate. Jesus is knocking on the door He wants in your life. But remember who He's actually writing to. He's not writing to those who are lost. He's writing to those who've already been saved. So can I use this today as an invitation, and we're getting ready to close all this out, to say, hey, Jesus, if you haven't been hot or cold or lukewarm, you've just been out there and you're lost, yes, He's knocking on your heart. But today He's really talking to those of us who haven't done more, who haven't been hot, who haven't been cold. In other words, who haven't been productive for Jesus, that we've just been lukewarm. And yeah, Jesus' letter stepped all over the church at Laodicea. It stepped all over my toes today. And so what is He doing? He's not giving up on us. He's knocking on our doors. And He wants the church to come home. It's that same prodigal son that I've used several times through the course of these seven churches who he was not hot or cold. He was lukewarm. He said, hey, you know, Father, give me mine. That's selfish. And so he did, and he ended up in that slop, in that mud, in that pig pen, and he came to himself in the most unlikely of places. And he said, I'm going home to serve. But what was the Father doing? He didn't say, hey, let's go about our business. They're gone. I don't care about them anymore. No, he stood on the road looking, longing, knocking on the door of his lukewarm son's heart. And that's what he's doing for us today. But is Jesus welcome? Do I want him there? You see, he doesn't want to come in if he's not welcome. I mean, who wants that? Let's say you go to your neighbor's house today and you knock on their door to bring them some cookies. They're like, get out of here. I don't like you. I don't like your stinking cookies. They're nasty. I don't like your dog. I don't like anything about y'all. You really want, but you can come on in. Who wants that? There's nobody here that wants that. Well, you know what? Jesus doesn't want in that either. He doesn't want in if he's not welcome. So today I've got to examine myself. But you know, there's a promise. He said, yeah, the problem's lukewarmness. That is a major problem. It's dangerous. The prescription is real simple. Repent and become zealous again. He said, and I will stand at the door and knock. And if you allow me in, I'll come back in. And you'll be an overcomer. Today, church, I need to ask this question. I need us all to ask this question. Are we willing to let Jesus reign in our life? Will we let the head of the church, think of that now, He is the head of the church. Will we allow the head of the church to be a part of our church? Behold, He stands at the door and knocks. Will I let Him in? Am I hot, cold, lukewarm? Only you can decide. And let's do it right now together. We stand and sing.